It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. A new study shows that 25% of people in the U.S. are experiencing symptoms of depression. That's about three times as many as before the pandemic. Among those hardest hit, those with a lower income and smaller savings, as well as people severely affected by the pandemic, losing jobs, say, or going through the death of a loved one. But the rest of us can feel down, too, with limited social interactions, policy disagreements, canceled events, and other disruptions. So how can we stay positive during these various trials, and how much is happiness affected by where we live? Miriam Keating is a professor at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and a licensed clinical psychologist. Miriam, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Well, this is a tough time to be happy. What kind of things do we know out there in a difficult time where a lot of our avenues toward happiness might be closed or limited? Are you seeing being successful for people right now?
That's a great question. I mean, clearly there has been a cumulative load of stressful events, and people are kind of using humor in some ways, right, to joke about 2020. What else is 2020 going to bring us? And humor does help. That is something that's important to kind of stay above the fray, and find those pieces of places where you can laugh about what's going on. I think one of the ways to think about it is just changing our mindset. At the beginning of all this, I think people went into it with a sense of in a few weeks, things will go back to normal, right? And so we can kind of maybe in the future laugh about that now or later. But I think that, you know, changing our mindset and recognizing that we're going to have to take it one day at a time is really useful.
Now, we saw the group Wallet Hub took a look at research and tried to figure out which state is happiest. They had a bunch of criteria. Wisconsin came in, I think, number 18 on the list. You study a lot how we can build happiness, not just at our own individual level, but at the community level. Maybe the state is too big. What kind of things can we do in a community, a town, neighborhood, whatever, to build a better, I guess, happiness environment?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And it helps us to think about that community level. In some ways, there's a lot of growth and learning we can take from this experience. And if we take that moment to breathe and stop and pause and say, what am I getting out of difficulty and adversity? There's usually a lot to learn. And in the case of pandemic, we're going through it as a global community, really. So first of all, there's a shared experience, even though everybody has their own version of what that experience looks like. It does help to know that other people are going through it at the same time. And then it makes you realize how much we really need each other. And on that note, thinking about your neighbors, as well as kind of the bigger shared place that we all live on, planet Earth. And so at the same time as all this in California, in my state that I live in, you know, we're going through wildfires and different elements that are reminding us of some of the other aspects of climate change and things that we need to take into consideration. And we can't really deal with that just as individuals. We really need to come together. And then finally, just in terms of community and where that lands for our own kind of selfish reasons, over and above everything else, social support, your community network, the people that you can rely on and turn to during times of distress and stress, comes out to be the number one factor that really helps our emotional and mental health and our well-being. So it's really a good time to nurture those relationships and realize if we don't have enough of them or we're not taking time with those relationships, that this is the time to really realize what's important in life and to really nurture those relationships in your neighborhood, in your communities, and to think about what you can do to make the world a better place.
One thing that struck me about that happiness by state study, the number one, two, and three states, Hawaii, Utah, and Minnesota. Now, that suggests to me that maybe you could build happy communities no matter what the weather is, no matter what the cultural background is. Three very different places did well on this. Is there something we can learn from that?
That's an interesting point, and I love it because really it shows that it's not necessarily just the environment that you live in, but the quality, right, of that environment. And I was lucky enough to actually grow up in Hawaii, so I was pretty excited when I saw Hawaii as number one. but you know, a lot of factors go into of these rankings, and I think instead of feeling, oh, where are we at, you know, again, each place, wherever anybody lives, or those of you in Wisconsin, can really think about what are the ways in which we can kind of enrich not only our own happiness, but other people's happiness. And, you know, I think if you go back to each of those three states, you probably would find some commonalities in terms of connection and community, sense of community, and the ways that people help one another. Even though those are really different states, there's a lot of, I would think, you know, actually a lot of family and connections that help people help one another during stressful times.
Talking to Mariam Kia Keating at the University of California, Santa Barbara, licensed clinical psychologist and a professor there, talking about happiness and building happier individuals and even communities, even in tough times. All right, Mariam, say somebody's out there listening and thinking, yeah, I would like to help boost happiness, not just for me, not just for my family. I would like to be part of making my community, whatever level they want to describe that, a happier place. What is something a person could do something like that?
I love that question. And I love that you just talked about planting trees, because in some ways that's such a wonderful, not just metaphor, it's metaphorical, but it's also something, you know, active that you can do. You know, thinking about, I think you do have to start with yourself to some extent, right? You do need to take care of yourself and your own family. It's sort of putting your own oxygen mask on first before you put on, you know, help somebody else with their oxygen mask. So that does mean paying attention to what your needs are and kind of getting to a place where things are going, you know, well, and you've established some supports and meeting your family's basic needs. But really, I think a tree is actually a wonderful metaphor for how you can go about serving your community, so, and your family and yourself, really. So really starting at those roots of some of those basic daily or regular actions that you can take of being involved, of knowing your neighbors, of helping one another on a more regular basis. So finding that area that you want to go and give back to your community, even if it starts out small and it's just within the neighborhood and your street, that's a great place to start. You don't have to go far, and that can make a really big difference. And I think the other thing to know is that doing that kind of work, finding an area where you can contribute, really brings you a sense of meaning and purpose, and ultimately really benefits the person who's the giver, almost more than the one who's receiving it. So we find that time and time again in psychological research. When you go out and you appreciate what you have and you give to others, it really benefits you.
Now let's talk about the other end of this. When a person is at that unhappier moment, a mental health crisis, do we, in general, in the United States, have the services out there, the accessibility of those services, the affordability matters sometimes? Do we have enough in place to help people in those times?
That's a great question. And the answer, you know, the quick answer is probably no, but there's a lot of effort being put into creating opportunities for telehealth so that we can reach out to others, even especially during a time where people are social distancing and in quarantine. And so being able to reach people from where they are is really an important part of bridging some of those gaps. And, you know, I think there's also a lot to be said for natural ways and not just clinical ways of reaching out and creating support networks, peer support networks, creating communities that check in on each other, you know, just knowing your neighbors, that those kinds of interventions go a long way. And I think also if we think preventatively, right, instead of waiting for that crisis to happen, if we're there in each other's lives, if we have those networks and we're helping to support one another, we're less likely to need more of the professional level. At the same time, the professional level is important, and there are times where that's what you need. And so reaching out for those kinds of support is really important. And I think it's a really good move in our society that telehealth is actually becoming much more accessible, and there's been a big shift because of COVID-19. And I think that's one of the positive aspects of the pandemic.
In our last minute or so, can you leave us with some words of encouragement on how we can look more toward happiness even during tough times?
I hope so. You know, I think, again, learning, taking taking a moment to be more intentional and learning from adversity really helps us to grow and find more purpose and really be more intentional about how we want to live our lives. So taking that moment to ask yourself, what can I learn from this moment and what has it taught me? Why are we going through such struggle right now? And how can it help me change in the future can really bring us to a new place and really of more happiness, contentment, and living a life with gratitude and purpose and meaning of helping one another is the way to go.
Miriam, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Miriam Kia Keating is professor at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and a licensed clinical psychologist. We talked with her about how we can be happier during difficult times. A new analysis of existing research puts Wisconsin as the 18th happiest state in the nation.